Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi Janavallabha Gide Bharadhari. Gopi Janavallabha Gide Bharadhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tihira Vanachari. Yamuna Tihira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. 絶対ゴーラハリボーハリボーハリボー絶対ゴーラハリボージャイアジャイアプラブパーンプラブパーンプラブパーンジャイアプラブパーンジャイアプラブパーンプラブパーンジャイアプラブパーンジャイアプラブパーンジャイアプラブパーンジャイアプラブパーンSri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Kirli Prabhupada Vishnupada Ashtotara Shatya Shishimad Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Taku Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Shad Goswami Ki Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Arvita Vidadha Shivashari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Shishi Radha Krishna Gopakupina Shamakunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapuram Ki Gangamayi Ki Yamunamayi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samabhata Bhakti Vrinda Ki Granta Rajshi Mad Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gorkaminandi Glory to the Samadhi Gautis All Glory to the Samadhi Gautis All Glory to the Samadhi Gautis All Glory to Shri Guru Shri Gaurangi
Hare Krishna. Indeed, it's a fortune to have His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj between us today. His Holiness Guru Prasad Swami Maharaj was born in the US and has been a student of nuclear physics. He then joined the US military service and gradually was posted in Panama. During his military service in Panama, he came in touch with ISKCON. Upon concluding his military service, he joined the pioneering group of Krishna devotees in Central America stationed in San Jose, Costa Rica. He was then initiated by Srila Prabhupada in the year 1976. He received his sannyas initiation in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil in the year 1982. His early contribution in ISKCON, Costa Rica, centered on the administrative services and distributing BBT publications beginning in 1975 in the US and from 1976 to 78 in Central America. He became the temple president of Costa Rica Temple in the year 1978 and then began traveling all around Latin America, opening new temples, establishing worship centers, and collaborating in diverse administrative services. In 1987, he became a member of the GBC with zonal assignments in the area of Latin America. He is the co-zonal secretary for El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, Belize, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Colombia, Trinidad and Tobago, and Venezuela. Maharaj has been taking care of the Latin Central American zone, which is considered a high-risk zone with security issues, having the highest crime rate percentages of the world. A few of them to mention are Venezuela, Honduras, Mexico. In these countries, it has been a challenge for him to maintain the preaching activities as well as the temples, where there are only a handful of devotees. Financial maintenance of these temples have not been an easy task. But Maharaj continues his service towards his master by doing whatever it takes to keep Krishna consciousness alive in the Latin and Central American hemisphere. So we are indeed very fortunate to have Maharaj between us today, and let's give him a warm welcome by saying Haribo! Haribo! Haribo!
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Today reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 30th chapter, text number 38. I just wanted to mention before we begin, it's a pleasure to be here again. I was here, 3 years ago? And passed through here a few times, but anyway, it's a pleasure to see everything completed and all of you enthusiastic devotees wanting to please Sri Guru and Gauranga by spreading the Sankirtan movement. Very nice to sit here and see Lord Chaitanya and Panchatattva spreading the Sankirtan movement. Vayam tu sakshad Bhagavan Bhavasya. Priyasya sakyukshana sanghamena. Sudushchikshasya bhavasya mityo. Vishaktamam tadya gatim gatasma. Vayam tu sakshad Bhagavan Bhavasya. Priyasa sakyukshana sangamena. Sudushchitikshasya bhavasya mityo. Vishaktamam tadya gatim gatasma. Vayam tu sakshad Bhagavan Bhavasya. Priyasya sakyukshana sangamena. Sudushchikshasya bhavasya mityo. Vishaktamam tvadya gatim gatasma. Vayam tu sakshad Bhagavan Bhavasya. Yasya sakyukshana sangamena.
Sudushchikshasya bhavasya mityo.
Sushiktama tadya gatim gatasma. Vaishnavi. Vaishnavi. Bhagavan Bhatasya. Translation, Vayam, we, to, then, sakshat, directly, Bhagavan, O Lord, Bhavasya, of Lord Shiva, Priyasya, very dear, Sakyu, your friend, Kshana, for a moment, Sangamena, by association, Sudush Chikshaksha, very difficult to cure, Bhavasya, of material existence, Mityor, of death, Vishaktamam, the most expert physician, Twa, you, Adya, today, Gatim, destination, Gata, have achieved, Sma, certainly. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very, very dear to you and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. Please repeat. Dear Lord, by virtue of a moment's association with Lord Shiva, who is very dear to you and who is your most intimate friend, we were fortunate to attain you. You are the most expert physician, capable of treating the incurable disease of material existence. On account of our great fortune, we have been able to take shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. It has been said, Harim bina na shrutim taranti. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, one cannot attain relief from the clutches of Maya, the repetition of birth, death, old age, disease, and death. The Prachettas received shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the supreme devotee of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. The most exalted Vaishnava is Lord Shiva. And those who are actually devotees of Lord Shiva follow Lord Shiva's advice to take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. The so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, who are simply after material prosperity, are in a way deceived by Lord Shiva. He does not actually deceive them because Lord Shiva has no business deceiving people. But because the so-called devotees of Lord Shiva want to be deceived, Lord Shiva, who is very easily pleased, allows them all kinds of material benedictions. These benedictions might ironically result in the destruction of the so-called devotees. For instance, Ravana took all material benediction from Lord Shiva, but the result was that he was ultimately destroyed with his family, kingdom, and everything else because he misused Lord Shiva's benediction. Because of his material power, he became very proud and puffed up so that he dared kidnap the wife of Lord Ramachandra. In this way, he was ruined. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ganam Jala Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. For the short time, I won't continue the whole Mangal Charan. Just one short line. So I just stopped here. This is a long purport because there's another very special example Srila Prabhupada says here, Lord Shiva has no business deceiving people. But because they want to be deceived, then what does he do? He takes the incarnation of Shankaracharya. And he deceives people. But he's not really deceiving people because previous to that incarnation, he was, the Buddhist philosophy took over all of India. And the Buddhist philosophy came to stop unnecessary slaughtering of animals, animal sacrifice, which had become so commonplace that the main purpose was to eat the animal, not to reap the benefit. And animal sacrifice is prohibited in Kali Yuga. At least that kind of animal sacrifice. So, Lord Shiva comes as Shankaracharya to deceive. It says, actually, he comes to deceive. But he's not deceiving because he's bringing them up to a higher platform of having faith in the Vedas. But from a devotee's point of view, he's deceiving. Just like here, it says that Lord Shiva and with his so-called followers, because his real followers must be devotees. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he came to a famous Shiva temple and he danced for 2 days in front of Lord Shiva. So, showing us that Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. He must be worshipped. Of course, we don't worship him directly. We don't worship him. We don't do our artik and put his picture on the altar as part of the parampara. But we worship him by in the same way that the prachetas are worshipping him. We take his blessings. And his blessing is that being the greatest of all Vaishnavas, he's giving an example of Dhyayam Sada, always meditating on the Lord. This was also, I'll go on because I think it's included in this purport a little later on. So Lord Shiva, even in some ways, Krishna can be said to deceive the people because his activities in Goloka Vrindavan, which he demonstrates when he comes to this material world, are bewildering to people. Naham sarvasya, naham prakasha sarvasya, yogamaya naham ritaha. He covers the living entities. So in one sense, his yoga maya is deceiving the living entities by transforming into mahamaya, by protecting the Lord's pastimes from being misinterpreted. But they're always misinterpreted. So many people use the Lord to excuse or to... Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, I spend most of my life in Dwarka, Mathura, being a king, getting up in the morning and meditating. In Dwarka, it says that Lord Krishna arises every morning and meditates. Of course, he meditates on himself. But that's not unusual because most of us meditate on ourselves also. And we're trying to give that up, and start meditating on Krishna. So, I just wanted to give that example. And of course, Srila Prabhupada here gives the example of Ravana. He thought that Lord Shiva could protect him. Hiranyakashipu thought that Lord Brahma could protect him. And so, all these foolish people, here in India, everywhere in the world, here in India, at least they worship the devas. Everywhere else, they worship some, who knows what they worship. And of course, some people worship God, but they have no conception. So it's actually, basically speaking, Brahman. Just like in the US, in Latin America, many places, they have the Christians give out these little pamphlets, and they have God like this robe with a hood and a light coming out. No face, it's just a light. So they're actually worshiping Brahman. So anyway, that's another subject. So we'll continue with the purport. To get material benedictions from Lord Shiva is not difficult. But actually, these are not benedictions. The Prachetas received benediction from Lord Shiva, and as a result, they attained the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Of course, these benedictions are special benedictions, and they're not so easily attained. The Prachetas received those benedictions after many austerities and penances. They received the blessings of Lord Shiva. One of the prayers of Muchukunda, when he prays to Krishna, I can't remember the verse right now. But anyway, he says that the living entities, after so many cycles of birth and death in this material world, after so many, this is also quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, then finally, after suffering so much, they come to the point where they look for the association of the devotees. And then by the association of the devotees, which has been the subject matter of the last 10 or so verses, the Prachetas are showing, and this verse is showing that the result of associating with the devotees. But the previous 10 verses have all been emphasizing we must associate with the devotees. So anyway, what was I talking about? Sorry, I'm a little spaced out from, I was a little sick. To get the association, to get that blessing, Muchukunda said that you have to go through so many sufferings. But Jiva Goswami explains that even if you do that, you cannot, that will not get you the association of the Vaishnavas. That it is by the association of the Vaishnavas that you can give up this bhavaroga or bhavasya, as said here in this verse. Only by that association. Which is given by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That's the only cause. But still, even though it is the only cause, and that is the proper order of things, still, by continuous suffering and going through the cycle of birth and death and begging the Lord, please take me out of this material world, the Lord inspires the devotee from within the heart. Just like sometimes we do Sankirtan, and you speak so nicely to someone and they don't care what you say. And someone else, you just say Krishna and they become devotees. Right? Just like that. So this is the blessing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it seems like when you read this purport that you can easily get, just as easily as the approaching Lord Shiva as Ashutosh, the so-called followers, just as easy as that, a devotee can get his blessings. No, not so easy. Not so easy to get the blessings of the greatest Vaishnava. But if we're sincere, then we get those blessings. If we take it, and what does sincere mean? We take advantage. Shukadeva Goswami describes sincere in the second canto, 8th chapter of the Bhagavatam, saying, Shrinvatam Shraddhaya Nityam. That sincerity means that Shrinvatam Shraddhaya, I will hear this Bhagavatam, this message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with faith and devotion. And then, Grinatas Cha Sushashchitaha. And then, I will become very serious by systematically carrying out this process of devotional service. So going on with the purport. This is the real benediction. The Prachettas received the benediction of Lord Shiva, and as a result, they attained the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This is the real benediction. The gopis also worship Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, and the Lord is still staying there as Gopishwar. So actually Shiva, although he's the greatest Vaishnava, that means he's the greatest Vaishnava among the residents of this world, those who live in this material world. But when the gopis come, who are not residents of this world, then Lord Shiva becomes their servant. And he lives in Vrindavan eternally to participate in the rasa dance by protecting it. He can't participate directly, although he almost got the chance to do so. He almost got the chance to do so. But he participates by standing right outside and making sure that no unauthorized person, like he tried to do, no unauthorized person can participate. And therefore, he's very dear to the gopis. And they give him his blessings, and by those blessings, he becomes the greatest Vaishnava. Because how can you become the greatest Vaishnava unless you have the blessings of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna coming through their servants? And of course, in our case, coming through the gopi, we also are receiving the blessings of Krishna through the gopis. Rupa Raghunath, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're all declared as gopis of Vrindavan. And they're giving us the blessings also that we can worship Krishna. The gopis, however, prayed that Lord Shiva bless them by giving them Lord Krishna as their husband. There is no harm in worshiping the demigods, provided that one's aim is to return back home, back to Godhead. So many people, and especially nowadays in using folio, they might look up demigods and they see this, wow, especially here in India. Now I can worship all the no problem, Prabhupada says. But then he says, the qualifying statement, provided that one's aim is to return home, back to Godhead. Generally, people go to the demigods for material benediction, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Of course, now, so one can say, well, I'll worship the demigods. No, because we develop certain habits here in India. I was mentioning yesterday to a small group of devotees that here in India, on almost everyone's altar, even devotees, you'll find Ganesh and you'll find Lakshmi, and sometimes a few more personalities creep in. Just like one time in Mukki in Karnataka, one small town, where one friend of mine had an ashram. So we went to one man's house who was helping. He was giving a lot of donations. And I never saw, he had like a big altar with all the, never saw so many demigods, like maybe 100. And at the end, he had Superman, So I said, why Superman? He said, well, just in case, I said, well, then you better put Spider-Man and this one, that one, continue your altar. So this is why. That even if people think this man was supporting the temple, coming, taking darshan of Krishna, but even though he thought, well, what's the problem worshiping the demigods? I just heard from the Swami that they are servants of Krishna, so therefore, all kinds of concoctions. And therefore, Krishna goes on to say, mayaiva vihitam hitam. Next verses in Bhagavad Gita. That anything you get from the demigods, you can get from me right away. Just like nowadays, through internet, you cut out the middleman. No? So also in Krishna consciousness, we cut out the middleman. No? Krishna is offering us directly through his devotees. You don't have to go through the demigods. He's offering us that possibility. So therefore, we take advantage of that possibility. One enamored by material benefits is called hitta-jnana, one who has lost his intelligence. So this kind of worship is definitely condemned. You know, because many people, especially in India, have said, well, Mother Sachi, she was in Kali Yuga. You know, because I say, well, Krishna spoke 5,000 years ago. Well, she was Kali Yuga. The girls of Navadvip, they were worshipping Lord Shiva for a husband. No, and the residents of Navadvip, when Nimai was in danger, they worshipped the demigods. Yashoda worshipped the demigods. What's the problem? The problem is that we become confused. And also there's no time. And also, how will we worship them? No. Just like I mentioned the other day, one time in New York, I was on my way to India, I stopped to buy some things. In the old days, we would bring like 3 or 4 tape recorders to India, and that would pay for our, you know, most of our expenses. You know, a few watches and tape, because you couldn't import anything, so you could sell a tape recorder for like 25 times its value. So anyway, I was there shopping, and the man had a picture of Lakshmi on his cash register, the old machines before they had computers. And so he was just doing his little puja, and then he put the incense in between the tape and the metal machine. I said, so you think this is Lakshmi worship? No. Do you offer 2 sticks of incense and stick it between the tape and the machine? He said, well, I'm getting so much money. I said, yes, but the Jewish businessman beside you is also getting some more money. No, he has a bigger shop, and he's not worshiping Lakshmi. And the atheist next door to him, who may have a bigger shop, no, some atheist like Bill Gates or something, he has more money than any of these people, and he's not worshiping Lakshmi. So what is the purpose? So anyway, I don't know what happened. I just tried to mention that to him. But the point is that people will become confused, and therefore Krishna, after he speaks this, it's not just the hitta-jnana, it's anyone, and they're mentioned as alpa-medasa, no, small intelligence, not so capable. In this connection, it is to be noted that sometimes in revealed scriptures, Lord Shiva is described as being non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The point is that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are so intimately connected that there is no difference in opinion. The actual fact is, Ekali Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabhyabhitya. The only Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his devotees or servants. Adi Lila 5:142. This is the real fact, and there is no difference of opinion between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in this connection. Nowhere in the revealed scripture does Lord Shiva claim to be equal to Lord Vishnu. This is simply the creation of so-called devotees of Lord Shiva, whose claim is that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are one. This is strictly forbidden in the Vaishnav Tantra, Yastu Narayanam Devam. Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma are intimately connected as master and servants. Shiva Varinchinutam. Vishnu is honored and offered obeisances by Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. To consider that they are all equal is a great offense. They are all equal in the sense that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all others are his eternal servants. So this was a long purport. So this point, Srila Prabhupada first, he makes the point that, you know, that one must surrender to a devotee to get his blessings. Then he makes the point that Lord Shiva, we don't worship him in the way that his so-called followers worship him. And then Srila Prabhupada points out that there's no need to worship the demigods. And then this last point, there's so many points in this purport. Speak on it for hours. But in any case, we don't have hours, so I'll say what I can. So this last point, that Lord Shiva is of the same opinion. You know? So achinta beda beda tattva. We're also one with Krishna in quality. And that oneness with Krishna in quality is that we do what Krishna wants us to do. That is what we're of the same spiritual nature. But on another platform, we're one with Krishna because we simply do what Krishna wants us to do. Srila Prabhupada says many places that the opinion of the devotee is the same as the opinion of Krishna. Otherwise, whatever Krishna wants, that's what a devotee does. So, Srila Prabhupada quotes something here from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Shiva varin shinutam. So I just began to quote this. It says that Lord Shiva is always meditating on, this is his, you know, his quality. Otherwise, if people think that Shiva is equal to Krishna, why is he always meditating on the Lord? So the Bhagavatam says, just like Lord Shiva, we should also always meditate on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Deya Sadam Paribhavagnam Abhishtadoham. And in that way, he will satisfy all of our desires. And Chutaspatam, his lotus feet are the actual, the place of pilgrimage for the minds of anyone who wants to cultivate the process of devotional service. And then he says what Srila Prabhupada quotes here, you know, the Bhagavatam. Shiva varin shinutam sharanyam. So that can be understood in two ways. Shiva varin shinutam means that they offer their obeisances. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma offer their obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sharanyam, and they are surrendered to him. But it can also mean Shiva varin shinutam, that although they are worship, they are offered obeisances by everyone, sharanyam, they take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in this case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how does Lord Shiva take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? In the form of Advaitacharya. And Lord Brahma takes shelter of Mahaprabhu in the form of Haridas Thakur. And we can see that how Srila Prabhupada says here that Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are intimately related because their opinion is non-different. So here we see that Advaita, who is actually Sadashiva, he's not the Shiva that's being referred to here. He's the origin of Shiva. And he's taking shelter. And his origin, which is Mahavishnu, he creates a whole dilemma in Dwarka, where the Brahmin sons are taken away one by one, they die, and the Brahmin becomes disturbed, and he criticizes Ugrasena, and then he criticizes, even subtly he criticizes Krishna and Balaram. They couldn't protect me. So Arjuna, you're going to protect me? How am I supposed to believe? But all that was done just so Lord Brahma, Mahavishnu could take darshan. And this was the first time that Arjuna became completely aware when this happened. Arjuna became completely aware that my friend Krishna is beyond all Vishnu forms. He understood that Krishna was Vishnu. But it wasn't clear. Even Prataparudra, when he saw Lord Chaitanya dancing, he was so desired. He had heard about Lord Chaitanya the first time Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri. He missed him, and all the devotees were glorifying Mahaprabhu. And therefore he wanted to see him, so Lord Chaitanya, Gopinath Acharya, he arranged that he could see the dancing of Lord Chaitanya from a hidden place. So he saw Lord Chaitanya dancing, but then he saw foam coming out of his mouth, and his body covered with dust and mud, because the tears from his eyes made his body wet, and it formed like mud on his body. So he was having a doubt that how can the Supreme Lord do this? But that doubt was actually rooted in another doubt, which how could I'm worshiping Lord Jagannath, but how could Lord Jagannath, so it wasn't clear to him that Lord Jagannath is Krishna, but how could Jagannath is so worshipable, how can Krishna perform this Ras Leela? Even Pratikshit Maharaj asked this question to Shukadeva Goswami to clear up this doubt. So then Lord Jagannath cleared up his doubt. Jagannath appeared to him in a dream. And then Lord Pataparudra came running toward him, and Jagannath said, no, keep your distance. Pataparudra was confused. He said, because you like me like this, with my body nicely shining, covered with oil, beautifully painted, and then all of a sudden Jagannath was covered with dust. And he said, when I'm like this, you don't like me. No. And then he transformed himself into Mahaprabhu with dust and foam. And then he transformed back into Jagannath. And Prataparudra, all his doubts were cleared up. So sometimes even a devotee can have some doubts about the Supreme Personality, all the aspects. And we should have doubts, because nashta prayeshva padrishu, even by hearing the Bhagavatam, nasta prayash, prayasha. Almost everything is complete. Almost everything is wiped out. But you can never understand Krishna completely. And Krishna has to reveal himself to the devotee so the devotee can understand him completely. And so this is the something that should be understood from this verse. And of course, we're out of time, but I just want to mention 2 points. That from the verse, they're indicating that we have to take shelter of the devotees, which have been indicated, but now they're declaring that this is the cause of our good fortune. Previously, they just said you should do it, but now they're saying, because we did it, we have achieved. You know, it says here in the verse, we have achieved this purpose. So someone may say, well, they're a little puffed up. No, they said they achieved. But they did. The Lord's right there. They're right there with Lord Vishnu. We have achieved perfection. And so sometimes a devotee, just like in Ramanujacharya, his disciple, well, his Shiksha disciple, Govinda. The devotees were speaking to him one day and they said, you're so wonderful, you're the greatest. And he said, yes, I accept that. So everyone went to Ramanujacharya. He's all puffed up. He's become puffed up. So Ramanuja called him and said, did you say this? Yes, I said it. Because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yogeta vichari kichu nahi pai, tomara karuna sara. Because any qualities I have, they're coming from you. You are the essence of my very existence. I have no other qualification. Therefore, if they say these things, I say I must have them because you have given them to me. And then everyone bowed down to Govinda. He is such a great devotee. And then the last point I just want to mention, I don't have time to go into it, is that it says here that by doing this, you're the most expert physician capable of treating the incurable disease. What is that incurable disease? Bhava Roga. the material existence. So in the Bhagavad, in the beginning of the 10th canto, you know, Pradikshit Maharaj states that this hearing of the Bhagavatam is the cure. Bhavaushatach roga mano biramat. That this bhava roga is mano abiramat. It is what gives pleasure to the mind. And when can you understand this? You can understand this when you actually nirvittatarshaya upagiyamana. When you're actually nirvittatarshaya, you are tired of tasting this material world, the bliss of this material world. So anyway, this point is being made here. So we've run out of time. And according to the little notification here, that includes questions and answers. So I'll be giving another class. So maybe I'll even do the next verse so that we can stay on the same subject matter. Next two verses. Anyway, I'll see. I'll check with the temple authority. Of course, that's even a longer, but Sunday we have a little more time. So maybe I'll do that on Sunday. Thank you all very much for your attention. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnava vrinda ki jai. Huh? Oh, I just was authorized to take a couple of questions. So, following the example of the Prachetas, when you get the blessings from the devotees, then you can do something. You know?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, very grateful for sharing what is sincerity from Srimad Bhagavatam. I came late actually, but that's what the point I entered. Thank you so much. I was always looking for some reference of this quality. The question I have, Maharaj, is about this here, that there it is written that one who seriously hears and takes the subject matter very seriously, that Vrinatasya Svateshtitam, and then Lord enters in his heart. And lastly, also you mentioned about this Bhavaushadhi, that when we are tired with this taste of this world, then we will experience. So my question is, Maharaj, is it possible to take things very seriously without hearing? Because sometimes we see that some people are only taking hearing very seriously, but not the other part seriously. But there are some people who are taking this part very seriously, but not this very seriously. Mm. So this is my question, Maharaj.
Yeah, well, it's indicated in the Bhagavatam that both things should be there. Otherwise, sometimes we're very serious about devotional service. But if we're not hearing properly, then we may commit offenses. Because we start to think, I'm following the regulations very good. We become a little proud. You know, I'm doing this very nicely. I'm cleaning the floor. Other devotees are not doing. You know. So if you're not hearing, you may not develop the proper level of humility. So both things should be there. Sincerity by hearing and seriousness by executing. And also, if you're just hearing, just like when Srila Prabhupada was one time, the devotees, the leaders from Mayapur picked him up in Calcutta airport, and on the way to Mayapur, they were saying, Prabhupada, there's one devotee in Mayapur. But there weren't that many devotees at that time. It was maybe 30 devotees, not like now. There's one devotee, he's just listening, he just reads Bhagavatam. He's not doing any service. And Prabhupada said that Pariksit Maharaj, he is hearing. This is not service. No. Yes, Prabhupada, but he's not doing any practical service. Prabhupada, the hearing is not practical? No. So everything they said, Prabhupada just counteracted it. So then Prabhupada was chanting, you know, and then after a few, you know, he did this sometimes, devotees make their anxiety a little stronger, then give the solution. You know. And so then he said, but if he's hearing properly, then he will do service. Jai Prabhupada! They were afraid that everyone will start reading all day and nothing will get done. You know. And so that both things are required. Then you have the proper balance. You know. Just like if someone just takes vitamin C is very good. But if you just take vitamin C, then you have an imbalance. Vitamin C or some other thing. You know, if you just take fruit. You know. And so, according to our nature, if we have a more brahminical nature, we'll be more inclined to hear than we will to maybe clean the floor, or you know, we'll be more inclined to go on the altar. And someone who's more of a Vaishya nature will be more inclined to do business and offer the results to Krishna. But if there's no hearing, then one becomes too attached to money, you know, and therefore they will force one to have it taken away. So if one's a grihastha making money, you should make sure that you hear properly so Krishna doesn't have to take it away. No. So any other questions since we got authorization?
You had mention of the pastime of King Pratapa Rudra seeing Lord Chaitanya with the saliva. You had mentioned about one of the pastimes of King Pratapa Rudra. So, if you could share the reference where this pastime is, where King Pratapa Rudra sees Lord Chaitanya with the saliva.
What detail? Of the pastime with Pratapa Rudra? That's from Chaitanya Bhagavat. You know. When Pratapa Rudra, he's lamenting to Gopinath Acharya, who's describing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that, well, I didn't see him. You know, I was so unfortunate. And everybody was saying that Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then when Pratapa Rudra saw Lord Chaitanya arriving, he was standing on the roof of the palace. Lord Chaitanya was there, but he was not allowed to see the kirtan. And there wasn't any kirtan because the devotees were just coming from Bengal. And so when he saw Dvaitacharya, he said, oh, who is that personality? And then he saw all the devotees. And Gopinathacharya said, yes, because they're coming because Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of God. And then the goes on and he sees the kirtan, but he has a doubt in his mind. And then even after that, he was sitting together with the head priest taking darshan of Lord Jagannath. And then Jagannath transformed into Mahaprabhu while he was on the altar. You know, Prataparu said to the head priest, you see the sannyasi? No? The priest was like, what sannyasi? No. And then he transformed back into Jagannath. And Prataparudra thought, oh, maybe I'm seeing things. Then he again transformed into Mahaprabhu. He said, there he is, the sannyasi. And the head priest is looking. I only see Jagannath. And then he transformed back, just to remind him that, remember, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is me. There's no difference. He is Krishna. He is the Supreme. So sometimes you have to drive a point in. Just like one time I was preaching in Dallas and one professor, I wanted to speak to me after the class and he said, so why does Prabhupada say something again and again and again? So I said, I saw he had a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. I said, can you take that cigarette pack out? Can you give it to me? So he said, Swami's going to have a cigarette? No. In the temple? So I said, see here, it says cigarettes may be harmful to your health. So that has been there for how long have you been smoking? 40 years. So you're seeing this again and again. No? So you have to see it again and again until finally you will understand. I said, okay, now I understand. And I said, also you should stop smoking. No? And so he appreciated that. So anyway. Any other question? Yes. Maybe. We need to have microphones in the four corners now, like the universe.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As you mentioned that one should have doubts, but in Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that Samshayatma Vinashyati.
Yes.
So what is the difference between doubt and inquisitiveness?
Well, he says that because we have doubts. Otherwise, he says that Asamshayam Samagram Namam, that all doubts will be cleared, but then more doubts will come. All my doubts will be cleared, but then because Krishna is inconceivable, then doubts will come again. No. But they're not negative doubts. No. Just like Pradikshit Maharaj, all through the Bhagavatam, he's doubting. No. Why did the Prachettas do this? Why did Krishna dance with the gopis if he is the emblem of morality? These are all doubts, but they're transcendental doubts because it reveals Krishna. So Krishna will create doubts in our mind just so that we can ask more and we can inquire more and Krishna will reveal himself more. So therefore, doubts, prayena. Everything is revealed, but there's always something that's not revealed. Ananta Shesha is speaking with so thousands of heads, the glories of Krishna constantly, and he can never finish. That's why. Yeah. Anyway, let everyone hear. Also, so I can hear.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for the Prabhupada pastime of Mayapur. My question is that this is like last part of their verse. Earlier they have been glorifying the association of devotees. So they are mentioning Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya or Bhavat Prasanganam, etc., which actually means your associate. No, association. They are not like, no, there is association of, and it is translated as association of devotees. Mm-hmm. But then they are very specific about mentioning the quality of the person whom they want to associate with. So, how do we understand this, Maharaj, that 10 years back, any one of us have come to Krishna consciousness, that time we see some devotees get inspired and, you know, just want to be like them. And as we spend more time, we don't see them that much with the same, you know, with the same amount of inspiration, etc. So, is it the understanding of pure devotee varies as we progress? Because they are seeking that. No.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to understand properly.
Well, of course, the greater the devotee, the more potency you get for less time. Just like in the previous verse, they spoke something which was spoken by Sutagiri Goswami. Tulayama lavanapena swargam napunar bhavam bhagavat bhakti sangasya. You can get that in tulayama lava. You can get it in one lava. No, if the devotee is potent enough, in one lava. Just like it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you get the association of a maha bhagavata, just by seeing them, you will glorify Krishna. You will want to surrender to Krishna. So if the less potent a devotee may be, we may require more association. Meaning that maybe whoever is giving the Bhagavatam class is a sadhaka. And therefore every day we're hearing the Bhagavatam class from different sadhakas. And even Srila Prabhupada, who was a Mahabhagavata, so many devotees heard from him for years. And we're hearing from him in his books, and still we're inclined to be in Maya. So yes, if you're sufficiently serious and desirous of serving Krishna, then in one lava you can become a pure devotee. But it's not the most common thing to do. And also we should understand that we get the association of those persons that according to our own qualification by our past deeds. Otherwise we could have been born right at the time of Rupa Goswami or Mahaprabhu. But we're not. We're here in Pune, you know, and somebody else is in Africa and somebody, you know. So you get that level of association according to your punya. But also, as I was mentioning yesterday, you shouldn't think that by getting that I can take it easy, because now I was born here in Bharat Varsha and I wasn't born in Africa or in the U.S., even worse, no. I'm born here, I have a greater responsibility. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have an extra responsibility. No. Not that, well, I was born here, so I'm better than those people. No, I've been born here to go and serve those people in Africa or wherever. To make this temple and so many temples so inspiring that the whole world, to make the TOVP such a wonderful place that the whole world will come and understand the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're all born according to our Sukriti, but we all have the same responsibility as humble servants of Mahaprabhu to bring everyone to his lotus feet. So I think we'll stop here for today, and any other question somebody has individual, I can try to answer it very quickly. Thank you very much. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Tai Gaur Premanandi.